7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast, and it is time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Jerry Nachman, and Steven Rubenstein will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely day today, and happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. And who better to spend an hour on Mother's Day with than Minds Over Matter? So please settle back and give us some time tonight, and hopefully you can give us a call as well, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope you will call and participate. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Of course, I do want to remind you that we are having the public radio party. It's kind of a low-key party at the moment, but please call and join us, and I'm sure you'll make it a little livelier. Again, you just call 1-800-525-9917 for pledging. You can pledge whatever amount you like. If you enjoy Minds Over Matter, and we've been here for a long, long time now, we're going to start our 21st year pretty soon. And if you support the show and you support the kind of programming they have on KALW, now is the time to call in and pledge.
Actually, okay. It's be our 22nd year.
21st.
This is our 21st year.
Oh, when is our 20th year?
Okay.
That's our first question for tonight.
All right, there you go. Well, Whatever we are. Anyway, we've been here a long, long time. So long that we've lost track of how long we've been here. So, again, that number to call and pledge is 1-800-525-9917. And again, any amount is fine. We love to have new members, so please take the time to do that, especially if you enjoy the kind of programming that we offer you right here on Minds Over Matter. And I do want to remind you of our email address, which is Minds Over Matter, no secret there. Minds Over Matter, one word, at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but over the course of the week. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of this show, it should be available afterwards, along with some of our older classic shows, at kalw.org. So, that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman would like to open the show with a prayer that Chief Justice John Roberts take early retirement. Amen.
Thank you, Dana. Steven Rubenstein, after fulfilling his Mother's Day obligations, is eagerly awaiting Father's Day next month so he can find out what kind of return he got on his investment.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that this show is the perfect program for Mother's Day. After all, the initials of it are M-O-M.
That's right.
Very
so
good.
That is us, and begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, here's a Steve Rubenstein question. What classic Hershey's candy is so named because the original machine was unable to produce the perfectly round-shaped candy the company wanted?
Not the Kiss.
No.
No. Perfectly round shape.
Is it candy still being manufactured?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Is it the name of a candy bar?
Not a bar.
It's not a bar. So it's like, if I were to say Mounds, it's not...
It's not a bar.
It's not
it's
a bar.
Not a bar.
Okay.
What well, the heck else do they make that's not a bar, that's not a Kiss?
Yeah.
Well, there's M&M's.
That's not Hershey. That's Mars.
I know, I'm saying it's like that.
Like that, okay.
Because you're saying it can't be a bar. What is it? I said it could be like
M&M's. Just probing here.
Did you say it was chocolate?
Hmm?
Did you say it was chocolate?
No, I didn't.
Is it chocolate?
Well, every candy bar is chocolate, just about.
I don't know if Hershey's makes everything as chocolate, but...
No,
but
it is chocolate. Yes.
Okay, all right.
Chocolate.
I don't know.
They make Rolo. Is it Rolo?
No,
Hershey's doesn't make Rolo.
Yeah, they do now.
I'll give you a hint. It was not originally a Hershey brand.
Oh.
When I was growing up.
Okay. Well, I know, right?
It wasn't that long ago.
I didn't study ancient history, but let's see. All right. They used to make it. I mean, in other words, so it's a new, it's a fairly new brand for Hershey. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but Hershey hasn't always owned it.
Hershey's probably owned it a long time.
Oh, really? Okay. I would guess. All right. Why don't you repeat the question?
Well, what classic Hershey's candy is so named because the original machine was unable to produce the perfectly round-shaped candy the company wanted?
All right. And he said that with food in his mouth, too. All right.
Chocolate. Oh. Sorry, excuse me. Folks.
All right, Steve, why don't you
go ahead? No idea. All right, well, in honor of Mom on her big day, all of these questions have something to do with that great lady. The first question, Ann Southern played the voice of this mother on television.
My mother of the car.
Correct. Yeah. All right.
1928 all right. Porter.
This woman played Robert Lincoln's mother.
Robert Lincoln's mother? Oh, with Sally Field.
Okay. Yeah. A little twist. Well, you're going to give me an extra syllable in my name. I'm going to put a little twist in the question. All right. She played the mom of three gangsters.
You mean Ma Barker?
No, she played the mom of three gangsters, American gangsters, in this trilogy. How easy do I have to make this?
Now, Ma Barker was the criminal, not the...
Yeah.
We'll leave that one out there. Okay.
Right.
All right. This sort of mother will be reopening in downtown San Francisco in 2016. Sort of mother.
Oh, Madonna.
No.
That's a sort of mother.
Sort of mother.
Yeah.
Sort of mother. All right.
Reopening in downtown San Francisco in 2016. Okay, we'll leave that one open.
One more.
All right. She played the mother of two Mayfield residents. In this 1956.
Oh, Aunt B. What was her name?
No, Mayfield.
Mayfield is
Leave
is
It
not
to Beaver.
Mayberry.
Oh, Leave It to Me. Oh, okay.
Leave It to Beaver. Barbara Billingsley.
There we go. Okay, and you will find this mother on many accordions.
Accordions?
Uh-huh.
Lady of Spain.
No, this mother on many.
She could be
accordions.
A mother.
You mean on the brand or on the plate?
On many accordions.
Mother of Pearl.
Mother of Pearl. There you go.
Very good.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right, I'll do a question, then we'll take a call.
That was Mrs. Bailey, Mother of Pearl. Mm.
All right, to my surprise, only three women, and I should change that back and say, to my surprise, only three mothers have been the Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Only three mothers, individual mothers, not part of a group, only three mothers have been Time Magazine's Person of the Year. So I'll give you each one a guess.
Golda Meir?
No.
Madam Chiang Kai-shek.
That is one. Very good. Yes, Madam Chiang Kai-shek is one. She actually adopted her child.
Well, do I get three guesses or three wrong guesses?
No, you only had one guess.
Oh, brother.
So there's two more, huh?
There are two more. Only three mothers have been Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Jerry got one, which is Madam Chiang Kai-shek, yes. And you may remember last week I asked the most popular tourist attractions in England outside of London. Okay, so I'll do the same thing for France now. What is the single most visited tourist attraction in France outside of Paris?
Euro Disneyland?
Not Euro Disneyland.
Lourdes?
Not Lourdes. No.
Chartres?
This isn't the Song of Bernadette. But Chartres? No. I'll give you one more guess, Jerry.
How come he gets two guesses and I get one?
You already got two guesses.
Oh, that's right.
Normandy.
No. All right. What is the single most visited tourist attraction in France outside of Paris? Okay. And there are only three mothers have been Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Jerry got one, which is Madame Chiang Kai-shek. What are the other two?
Mrs. Roosevelt.
No, not Mrs. Roosevelt.
Jackie Kennedy.
No. No, no, stop it.
Well, you didn't say I only get one guess.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. I'll stop it.
You got an extra guess.
Yeah, that's all right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're from Union City.
Hello.
That candy you were talking about by Reese's, I meant by Hershey, was it Reese's Pieces?
No, it was not.
Got a couple questions.
All right.
First one is, what comedian television series did Sean Connery make his American television debut?
So
what's that again?
On what television series?
Did Sean Connery make his American television debut?
Did who make his American?
Sean Connery.
Oh.
Sean Connery.
Was he a star by then, or was this before James?
No, he wasn't a star by then. This was in the 50s.
Oh, the 50s.
Jack Benny.
Right.
What?
Well, yeah, really? He appeared on the Jack Benny show. Plotline had showed Jack when he was touring Europe.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Never put those two together.
Only get one bell for that, huh?
That's
all right. Yeah. I'll take it.
My second question. What was Green Bay Packer coach's Vince Lombardi's favorite television series? And there's a connection to it. One of the stars has a connection to it in a way.
Is it a football connection?
Not a football connection. It was a sitcom, I'll tell you that.
The Phil Silver Show?
Nope. It did take place in the part of the armed forces, though.
McHale's Navy.
In the 60s.
McHale's Navy?
Yes.
I said it first.
My voice was the one he heard.
McHale's Navy and Lombardi was?
Because he and Ernest Borgnine look so much alike?
You're on the right track. Ernest Borgnine later played Vince Lombardi in a television special.
Ah, okay. Well, they did look a lot alike.
And also, I had a little to that question about Ed Sullivan.
Yes.
Did you know that Sellers Production Company produced the Beatles concert at Shea Stadium, and it was included on the Sullivan Years special, but it was not included on the Beatles on Sullivan DVD for some unexplained reason.
Oh.
You know that?
I did not.
I do now.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David Price Welding in San Francisco.
Hey, David. I haven't heard from you in a little while.
Well, I've been going to a lot of the Conservatory of Music. They're busy at this time of year.
Well, if you really think that's more important, go ahead.
You have the hottest show in the Bay Area on the hottest station.
Thank you.
KALW, so I hope everyone contributes.
Thank you.
And with our upcoming hottest temperature, I'd like to ask, what is San Francisco's warmest ever recorded highest temperature and lowest temperature? And we've hit our highest temperature twice. I'll give you a clue. They're both the highest is over 100. The lowest is below freezing.
So this can be any time of the year, in other words?
Yes.
Okay. 104.
You're close, Jerry.
Well, it has to be right in there.
I'll say 100.
I'll give it to you. It's 103 degrees.
Ooh,
and it
that's
was
pretty close.
Recorded
higher.
Both in 88 and 2000.
104 isn't the same as 103.
Close.
Close enough.
Close, Steve.
You're very generous.
And the lowest?
26.
I'll give you that. You're also a degree off. It was 27.
Good job.
Recorded in 1932, Steve.
But 26 is closer to 27 than 103 is to 104.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I guess on Dana's question, Mother, would it be Madame Curie as Person of the Year?
She was on the cover of Time, but never as Person of the Year.
Okay. Well, thank you for a great show, and I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right. Opening in downtown with all the subject, it has to be the Museum of Modern Art.
MoMA, yes.
MoMA.
That's close enough to MoMA, isn't
it?
Okay.
Yeah. Sort of.
Yeah. Sort of. I said it was a sort of MoMA.
Sort of, okay.
Right. Okay. And opening, Dana, your question about a popular tourist attraction outside Paris. How about Versailles?
No.
Or Cannes?
No.
Okay. Now, Jerry, your question. Is it the Chunky Bar?
No, it is not.
Oh.
I think it's well before that.
It's not the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Maddie, bring in the last minute thing. Princess Diana.
No.
Ah. But otherwise, we're done.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I think the mysterious candy is the Milk Duds.
Correct.
Oh, very good. Good job.
That accounts for their
dud.
Irregular shape. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. How'd you know that?
Right.
How'd you know that?
I guess I got to throw in a question. Which mother of invention was known as the Indian of the group, self-described?
Oh, now I have to know. Oh, boy.
Don't know.
Mother's invention.
It wasn't Frank.
It might be the only one you've ever heard of besides Frank Zappa.
Oh.
Not my field.
Don't know.
Nope. We don't know.
Okay. Jimmy Carl Black.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
It's just that we're not very good at that particular area.
In closing, I'd just like to encourage people to make sure to give to the pledge drive.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Jerry, how many crowns on how many teeth fell victims to milk duds over the years? Do you have that statistic?
I don't know. I do not have that, no.
And Indian corn, too.
It was impossible to eat because it always got stuck in your teeth more than almost anything else, except for jujubes.
Yeah. Mm. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Gerald Nachman and from the San Francisco Chronicle and teaching profession, Stephen Rubenstein.
Well, I'll take any extra syllable I can get.
Okay. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And, of course, as I mentioned before and we'll mention again, it is Pledge Drive here at the Public Radio Party. The number to join us is area code 1-800-525-9917. You can pledge any amount you want. We're always looking for new members. And if you support the kind of programming we're offering right now with Minds Over Matter or anything that is being you can hear on KLW, now is the time to call and pledge. So 1-800-525-9917. And if you'd like to join us here with a question or answer, the number here is 415-841-4134. Again, Minds Over Matter is 415-841-4134. Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, my better judgment suggests I should recuse you from this, but I won't.
Okay, I'm glad you listened to the sensible voices in your head.
What actress had the same name of the lead character she played in a well-known movie?
Say it once more.
What actress had the same name, a real name, I think, of the lead character she played in a well-known movie?
Okay, just give us the actress's name. Don't give us the character's name.
Well, there might be more than one instance of this, but
this is
the only one I can think of right offhand is Anne Shirley.
Got it. See, I knew I shouldn't have let you. Yeah, in what movie?
In Anne of Green Gables.
Correct.
Yeah, she played in the first version of Anne of Green Gables.
1934.
I don't know if it was the first version, but it was the one in the 30s anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the version he was asking about, though.
Yeah, really? 1934.
Yeah,
Anne Shirley. Okay.
She had quite a respectable career after that.
Yeah, they just had a week of her on Turner Classic, so that's
right. I saw her in Murder My Sweet. She was
they played that. I watched a little of that. Yeah. That was Dick Powell's first
tough guy
non-musical
role.
He hated doing
musicals, though, I know.
Yeah.
And, all right, give us another question.
Why were colleges once called normal schools?
Normal schools. Did it have anything to do with norms? No.
You mean the name Norm? No.
No.
Well, it has something to do with that, of course, because that's the name, but...
There were very few normal people at my school.
I want you to ask. No, it doesn't have any... No.
I thought they used normal as for high schools and not colleges.
Colleges, I think.
Normal.
Maybe they did a long, long time ago, but...
Because of the school in Rocky and Bullwinkle was way below normal.
Yeah. Frostbite Falls.
Yeah. I don't know.
See?
No idea.
And you're a teacher.
No idea. That's why. I'm here to learn, Jerry.
Okay. Well, you'll learn later. So I won't tell you then.
Why don't you read the question once more?
Why were colleges once called normal schools?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi. Harry and Susan in Berkeley.
Hi, Harry. Hi, Susan.
Well, Sparky and Manny beat us to MoMA, but we'll take a bill anyway.
All right.
the mother of the year, was Margaret Thatcher one of them?
She was not.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing how few women actually have been person of the year.
Okay. The most visited place in France.
Yes, outside of Paris.
Outside of Paris. Giverny?
No.
Oh,
that's a good
board?
No.
The board's not? You don't mean the beaches down at Saint-Tropez, do you?
No.
Could it be the airport, this which is typically outside of Paris?
No. This is a single site. In other words, it's not a city or something like that. So it's
the only other thing I can think of is possibly Verdun.
No.
Cave at Lascaux?
No.
Oh, Disneyland. Susan says Disneyland.
No.
Okay. We quit.
All right.
Is Versailles Palace in Paris or not?
I think it's sort of included in the greater Paris now, though it didn't used to be included, but
okay, it's not it.
It's still not it anyway, so, okay. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Michael. I was going to answer the MoMA question as well, but is the French tourist area the French Riviera?
It is not.
Hmm.
It's a sort of like a single site. In other words, like one...
Mont Saint-Michel?
No, I mean, that's a good guess, and that's sort of the thing I'm looking for, but no.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And, Steve, it's your turn.
All right. It's my favorite politician lately. The name of the president of Nigeria is what? Unusual name, of course, it is.
Good luck, Jonathan.
Good luck, Jonathan. All right. All of these questions have the word or phrase good luck in them. I named the classic movie in which the phrase good luck, spoken by a Nazi officer at the entrance to a bus, leads to catastrophe. The phrase good luck.
In French.
Yes. And the fellow answers thank you in English.
Yes.
It's the Great Escape.
There you go. Give yourself a bell. All right.
Yes.
All right. Name the man who says good luck 5 nights a week immediately before the playing of the song A Time for Tony. Name the man who says good luck 5 nights a week immediately before the playing of the song A Time for Tony.
It used to be Art Fleming, and now it's Alex Trebek.
Very good.
Merv Griffin wrote that Time for Tony.
It's a lullaby.
When they do the final Jeopardy, they have that little music that plays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He made a lot of money off that little piece of music.
What does Tony refer to?
That's his son.
Son.
Oh.
Son's name.
Okay.
All right. This movie starred and was directed by George Clooney.
Good night and good luck.
I have to take your first answer. This is the Jeopardy rules.
Good night
rules
and
here.
Good luck.
Yeah, well, that's not your first answer, Jerry. All right, give him a bell anyway. Yeah.
No, I didn't finish my first answer.
All right. Who wrote this? Who wrote these words? You know, Hobbs, someday even my lucky rocket ship underpants don't help.
Calvin. Or the one that wrote Calvin and Hobbes.
Bill Watterson.
All right, good. All right. I'm a great believer in luck. I find the harder I work, the more I have of it. You might have this fellow in your pants pocket.
Bob Wallace.
Levi Strauss.
No.
All right, leave that out.
It's an elected official.
Oh, in my pants. Oh,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, okay. Lincoln.
No.
Washington.
How many does he get? Two. Come on, be the arbiter here.
Two.
Make a decision.
I got it.
Two. Dana.
Two.
You hated it.
No,
I got it.
You got it. You did not get it.
Okay.
Neither
all right.
one.
All right.
Read it once
right.
more, would you say?
Okay. Okay. I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it.
Mm.
Well, that sounds like Ben Franklin, but I won't guess it because I've already outdone my guess.
All right. Yeah, you carry $100 bills around in your pocket, Jerry?
Some people do. These days, yeah.
And then if you'd like to join us here on Minds Over Matter with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For the French tourist attraction, how about the D-Day beaches?
No.
Okay. I have a little game for you tonight, which, with apologies to Walt Whitman, I am calling Oh Captain, My Captain.
All right.
I am going to give you the title of a vessel, either from history or fiction, and I'd like you to give me the name of the captain associated with that vessel.
Smith on the Titanic.
Well, that's one. Good.
E.J. Smith. I have the initials.
Did I get it?
Yes. Give yourself a bell.
Okay.
All right.
What was the question?
All right. Steve, no leaping in. Let the man read his question.
Okay. I will give you the list of vessels. The first one is the Pequod.
Oh, Ahab.
Ahab, yeah.
Correct. Millennium Falcon.
Harrison Ford.
Han Solo.
I'll go with Han Solo.
All right.
The Bonhomme Richard.
Jean-Paul Jones.
Yeah.
Great. Nautilus.
Nemo.
Nemo. Right.
Don Treader.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. Is that Thor Heyerdahl?
No.
No, that was
Kon-Tiki.
Kon-Tiki.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
Right. Don Treader. The Voyage of the Don Treader. No, I can't remember that.
There was a movie a couple of years ago.
Yeah. No. Well,
okay, I will leave that one out.
All right.
The Cane.
Captain Cane.
Queeg.
Philip Queeg, yes. The TARDIS.
Oh, the TARDIS. Wait a minute.
Well, Merrick was also the captain of the Queeg after he deposed Queeg. Can I have a bell for that?
He was acting.
All right.
All right.
All right.
You're allowed.
I'm sorry, what was the last one again?
The TARDIS.
T-A-R-D-I-S. Oh, that's from Doctor Who, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
And last one, The Half Moon.
Oh, Henry Hudson.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Oh, Captain, my Captain, our fearful trip is done. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks
great
a lot.
Question. Great question.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, so I have a movie.
Is the site in Paris, would
it's
one
not
think,
in Paris.
Would one think it was in Paris,
no,
but
you
by
would
a
not.
Technicality it isn't?
No.
It's not that.
No,
it's not a sneaky little Dana question.
It's
like
out.
That,
it's outside of Paris.
All right.
All right. So this is a movie question. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you six names of actors, and they all played the son or daughter of a woman who won an Academy Award for Best Actress for the role in which they played the son or the daughter. Okay, so it's not that complicated, Jerry.
Yeah, say it again.
These just happen to be. So I'm going to give you the names of the actors or actresses who played the son or daughter in the movie where a particular actress won the Best Actress Academy Award. Is that more a little better for you?
Okay. A little better.
Okay, so here we go. There are six. Number one, Anna Paquin. Number two, Dan Aykroyd. Number three, Cammie King, C-A-M-M-I-E, King. Number four, Anthony Hopkins. Number five, Anne Blythe. Number six, Marissa Pavan. Okay, again, these are six actors who played the son or daughter of an actress in their Best Actress Academy Award-winning role. Okay? So number one, Anna Paquin. Number two, Dan Aykroyd. Number three, Cammie King. Number four, Anthony Hopkins. Number five, Anne Blythe. Number six, Marissa Pavan. Again, they played the son or daughter of an actress in her Best Actress Academy Award-winning role.
Oh, Anne Blythe played the daughter... Mildred Pierce of Joan Crawford.
That's right. Very good. See, you got it. Wasn't
yeah, well, that's
bad.
It. That's it. The
Anna Paquin.
And she won an Oscar, too, by the way, for that.
For that role.
Both the woman that played the mother and the one that played the daughter.
Pianist. Wait a minute. What was the name?
You're on the right track. You almost got it.
Almost. Can you ring half a bell?
No.
Can you unring a bell?
No. Once given, never taken away.
Anthony Hopkins. Huh?
Yeah. So, Anna Paquin, Dan Aykroyd, Cammie King, Anthony Hopkins, Marissa Pavan. Marissa Pavan was Pierre Angeli's sister.
Look at all these callers that are going to jump in on my right answer.
I know that.
That's right.
Dan Aykroyd. Wow.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarino.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. On the attractions in France, did someone guess Chartres already?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'd like to follow up on my question from last week. I was asking about cars that were named after animals.
Oh, right.
And one of you very cleverly mentioned Stutz Bearcat, which I thought was interesting. What's a bearcat?
That's what I asked, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I consulted my handy dictionary here, and the definition was very brief. It's a binturong.
What is that?
Well, that's a good question. And then looking up binturong, it's a civet, which is a type of mammal.
Oh, okay.
So you might as well call it a Stutz binturong.
No. So there is a bearcat, okay.
Yeah, apparently.
Was Volkswagen Beetle one of them?
Yeah, I think that did
come up. That was mentioned.
And the rabbit, too.
Right. Okay. Okay, I have another question about car names. And to my knowledge, there's only one car that was named after a Shakespearean character. Can you tell me what that is?
The Dodge Desdemona.
That's an interesting question.
I guess that wasn't correct.
The DeSoto Othello. Is it a male or a female character?
It's a female.
That's what it is. Yeah, very cool.
The Iago sounds like a good name for a car.
Yes, you wouldn't be able to trust it, though.
Can you tell us the play?
No, I don't think I want to do that.
That would give it away. No.
Yeah. That would be pretty low.
Not Caliban. Ariel?
That would be good, but not, there isn't That's any. Good. There was an Ares, but not an Ariel.
Right. There wasn't an Ariel. Oh,
okay. Yeah. My Ariel broke off. Let's see. It's a female character. Juliet.
What are the three character Lear's daughters?
Goneril, Regan, and Cordelia.
Okay, no, I guess
not. One of those.
No, okay.
You wouldn't want to drive around
Miranda.
In a Goneril, would you?
Oh, Miranda. Oh, that's a nice name too. Is it a lead? Is it a fairly lead character? Would you say?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Interesting.
The Ford, Gertrude,
Rosalind, Portia. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
That's good.
Portia on trial.
That's good. That's very good.
No, that won't work.
All right.
Okay.
Too bad.
Okay.
Now I don't know. I have to go through all the plays in my head.
Yeah.
I don't think the car is made anymore, but it's not a. It's a fairly recent car.
Oh, it is. Is it an American car?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
It's not in America.
A popular car.
So it was
Alfa Romeo. Romeo. That's good. That counts.
That's not bad.
That's good.
Well,
not bad.
I'll take it.
If you take that, you have to take Porsche.
That's half of it.
Porsche was a spell. I disqualified that on the basis of
spelling.
All
right, yeah. I think you got us
Alpha
on this.
Alfa and Juliet. You've heard of that play, haven't you?
Okay. Well, it could also have been named after a work by Chaucer. If that helps any, spelled differently.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, if that helps.
It doesn't. Give it to us.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a Cressida.
Wow.
Oh, Troilus and Cressida.
Troilus and Cressida.
Yeah, very good.
Interesting.
So it's a Toyota Cressida.
Okay. Is it spelled the same way? It's not spelled the same way.
Yeah, C-R-E-S-S-I-D-A.
It is spelled the same.
Two S's. Okay.
That's a very interesting question. Thanks.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. And you're listening to us on, of course, KALW, your local public radio station that is doing pledging tonight. And this is a public radio party, so we're part of the party, I guess. And if you'd like to call and pledge, that number is 1-800-525-9917. You can pledge whatever amount you like. We love to have new members. And if you enjoy Minds Over Matter and the other fine programming they have at KALW, now's the time to call and pledge. 1-800-525-9917. Okay, that's it. We're a little past halfway through the show. Let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Why were colleges once called normal schools?
All right, Steve.
All right, on my movie questions having to do with Mother, she played the mother of three Italian-American gangsters. I'll give you a hint on this one. As long as this mother was alive, the youngest brother wouldn't kill the middle brother.
Oh, so it's the Godfather, but I can't think of the actress who played the mother in the Godfather movies. I can't think of who that is.
Really? I can't.
Yeah, I can't, though.
Okay. I had another question that was left out. I'm a great believer in luck. I find the harder I work for it, the more I have of it. What American elected official said that? Could be in your pants pocket right now.
Hmm?
We just throw out a
Lincoln.
Throw out a
all right.
A denomination.
And only three women have been mothers or are mothers or were mothers have been Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Jerry got one, which is Madam Chiang Kai-shek. Who are the only other two? The only other two mothers who have been Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Outside of Paris, what is the single most visited tourist attraction in France? What is the single most visited tourist attraction in France outside of Paris? And I gave you a list of actors, who played the son or daughter of a woman who won the Best Actress Academy Award for that role. So these are, they played their son or daughter in the role that won the actress her Best Actress Academy Award. So here are the ones that are left over. Anna Paquin, Dan Aykroyd, Cammy King, Anthony Hopkins, and Marissa Pavan. All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Okay, so Anna Paquin was the daughter in Piano, and I believe they both, Anna and Holly Hunter, won Oscars for that.
Good job.
I was thinking of her, and I couldn't think of the actress.
Right. Good job.
Cammy King played Bonnie Blue Butler in Gone with the Wind.
That's right, Vivien Leigh's daughter. Very good.
And we were really certain that it was Versailles, but now we're thinking, and I hate to say this, is it the Disney?
It is not play? Euro Disney, no. It is not.
Yeah, I don't, you know, Versailles was like a ringer, so it's technically not Paris.
Nope.
The only other place I can think of would then be Lourdes, and I can't believe that's the second.
It is not Lourdes either, no.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Sid. How are you?
Good.
So, happy Mother's Day for everyone.
Thank you.
Very good. So, from last week, I asked about moons and planets. So, the answer, nobody...
You always ask about moons and planets. Not last week. Every week.
No,
but
no,
that's okay.
No, okay, well...
That's your area.
Earth and Pluto are the only ones that have one moon. Mercury and Venus have no moon. And there's only one planet in the solar system that have two moons only.
Mars.
Mars. Very good. Very good. Okay, so I have a question this time about, okay, what is the origin of the word basket case, a hooker, and flying off the handle?
Well, hooker was named for a general or...
A guy named...
During the Civil War.
Fighting Joe Hooker, who was a Union general.
Yeah.
And what did the term came from?
They came from the women, the camp followers, who, as the army moved.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, which is a really good idea. I think it's a good idea. Okay.
What were the other names again, hooker and...
Let's not go into that. It's Pledge Week.
What was it?
I forgot what his
is a basket case.
Oh, general.
Basket case has to do with
Does that have anything to do with anything to do with a guillotine?
No.
Does the head would fall into a basket.
That's terrific.
Has something to do with wars. It came from the First World War.
I thought maybe it had to do with patients and mental institutions who
wove
baskets for pastime.
Oh, people
exactly.
Who?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, that is it.
Soldier with mental issues.
That's right. Basket. Okay.
All
very
right.
Good.
Right.
Okay. What about flying off the handle?
Wow. I don't know. Flying off the handle.
Well, that was people who were very
very angry.
Who got very angry with Frederick Handel.
What did the term come from?
No.
Flying off the handle.
The handle was an object or an implement that is that okay. And so we have to guess which one it was.
What is the object? If you know what the object is.
Is this anything to do with cooking?
No.
All right.
Is it a sports device?
No. What usually would fly off a handle? Yeah, you know, if you are doing something with something, then the part of the item you're using.
The pot.
Will fly
the
off.
Pot or pan would fly off a handle.
No.
Pan and handle.
The pot holder.
No.
An axe.
Oh, an axe handle. Okay.
Axe handle.
Oh, very okay. Good. Handle. Very good. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye. And
I don't think I got a bill for Mars, did I?
No, you didn't. I think it's your turn, Steve.
All right. My turn again? All right. Since it's May 11th, with all of these questions will have something to do with 11. All right. Who was trying to roll 11s in the boys' gym? Who was trying to roll 11s in the boys' gym?
The boys' gym?
The boys' gym.
Holden Caulfield.
No. It has to do with a song. Who was trying to roll 11s in the boys' gym? Number two. In what movie does the dial go to 11? In what movie does the dial go to 11? You're shrugging, but it's a major movie.
A little too vague. Okay.
Three. In what game are there two large white dots 11 meters from two long white lines? In what game are there two large white dots 11 meters from two long white lines?
Mm-mm.
No. Mm-hmm. All right. What happened when three famous 11s came together? What happened when three famous 11s came together? All right.
You got 33?
All right. Give me the correct way of writing the name of the store where you buy a Slurpee.
7/11.
Correct, but you have to give me the correct way of writing it.
The number 7/11.
No, that is not correct.
I think you write out, you write out 11, don't you?
Or, no.
No?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they're both
all
written
right.
out? They're both written
no.
out. No. Okay.
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 And our one more. Bernie Mac, Elliot Gould, and Carl Reiner were three of these.
Oh, the Ocean's 11.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Hi, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
So dials go to 11 in Spinal Tap.
Correct. Good.
Good.
And the guy shooting 7/11 down in the boys' gym is Charlie Brown.
Correct. There you go.
All right. Very good.
Good job.
Well done.
So I agree with Jerry's earlier statement that the statement about luck and work sounds like Ben Franklin, but I don't think he was elected to anything.
No, but is that...
Guess
okay.
Jefferson.
Yes, Thomas Jefferson.
Ding.
Ding. Well done.
All right. A caller left a question open about the captain of the Dawn Treader.
Yes.
I think Voyage of the Dawn Treader is one of the Narnia books, and I think that the captain is Prince Caspian.
Okay. Take
Ding.
Your word for that.
I'll take that.
Provisional? Okay. Let's see. Oh, okay. So I'm glad Linda called in about the Binturong again, because my favorite trivia question is this. What popular manufactured food item is the Binturong said to smell like?
Boy.
Because I looked this up years ago, same question, because Bo Diddley talks about bear cats in one of his songs.
Yeah.
And every mention of the Binturong I ever saw said that it smelled like this.
Hmm.
And I'll give you a hint. It's orange.
Stinky cheese.
Oh, nope. A macaroni and cheese.
Nope.
It's orange.
How about an orange?
Nope.
It's orange.
Cheese curl.
An orange is
but
orange.
You're getting warmer, Jerry.
Cheese doodles.
Nope.
Frito.
Goldfish.
Fritos is correct.
Fritos.
Okay.
Yep.
Good
apparently
job.
They smell corny and greasy.
All right.
Okay. So my question that I was calling in with before I heard Binturong's mentioned is this. The Harold Lloyd comedy Welcome Danger, a film from 1929, is mostly remembered because Harold Lloyd spoke in it, but in one city where it played, it caused riots. Where and why?
Ooh. Boy. Well, they had that in both silent and sound versions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, let's see. Huh, it caused riots. Why?
Yep.
Was it? It was someplace overseas, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Is it something like China or India?
It is China.
Okay.
The story was set here in San Francisco.
Oh. I can't go any further than that. Don't know.
So I guess the depiction of Chinatown gangsters as sort of sinister Fu Manchu types actually caused a riot in Shanghai, and they had to shut down the theater where it was playing.
Oh. Well, wouldn't it have done that even in a silent version, though?
Oh, yeah. No, the sound thing's just a red herring.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and one last thing. Jerry was right at the beginning of the show. This is your 21st year.
All right.
Aha, uh-huh, see, I'm always correct. Thank you, sir.
It's the end of your 20th year.
So. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that.
You guys don't give Jerry enough respect.
I agree
personally,
with you.
I don't.
I think we give him way too much.
Callers have corrected.
I'll leave you guys to fight that out.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Two callers have confirmed my previous comments. So.
Okay. I bow to your superior knowledge.
Well, you have to treat your elders with a little more respect.
Okay, I'm going to give you some actors who played mothers in Hitchcock movies. So all I have to do is tell me the movie, okay? Jessica Tandy. Louise Latham.
Oh, boy.
Esther Minciotti, who was the mother in Marty, by the way. Marion Lorne. And Jesse Royce Landis. All these women played mothers in Hitchcock films.
Strangers on a Train.
Yeah, let me get through the list once more. Jessica Tandy, Louise Latham, Esther Minciotti, Marion Lorne, and Jesse Royce Landis. And I'm sorry, you said, Steve?
Strangers on a Train.
Is which one?
I don't have to say that. You said name the movie.
I can't give you credit until you match it up.
I'll say Jesse Royce Landis was Cary Grant's mother in North by Northwest.
That is correct. Yes. She was also Grace Kelly's mother in To Catch a Thief.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So there are two.
She played a lot of mothers.
Yeah. Right. Even though she was only, as they made the point in The New Yorker, she was only 2 years older than Cary Grant when she played his mother.
Well, that was true of Angela Lansbury and Lawrence Harvey in Manchurian Candidate, too.
Right.
Okay, Marion Lorne. Okay, let me see.
So we
was
still.
Louise. What was that?
Louise Latham, Jessica Tandy, Esther Minciotti, and Marion Lorne all played mothers in Hitchcock films.
The mother of Farley Granger, right?
Oh, Marion Lorne.
No, she was not the mother of Farley
Granger. She was not?
No.
Mm-mm. No. Okay, I don't know the two other ones.
No. Robert Walker, the crazy.
Yes.
Okay. The
Bruno.
One, the Bruno.
Bruno
okay,
Anthony.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But the.
That was Marion Lorne.
That was Marion
Lorne.
Yeah, right.
What was the movie?
Strangers on a Train.
Okay, yeah,
right.
There you go.
Sheesh. Okay. Yeah. So Jessica Tandy, we should...
Bruno, get. You're a naughty boy.
Yeah.
Jessica Tandy was the one that we probably should get.
You should get that, yeah. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. I'm Steve. I'm sorry that I was on the phone for half an hour waiting to say to Jefferson, but that's okay.
You got a bell anyway.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Dana.
Yes.
Dan Aykroyd's mother was Jessica Tandy in Driving Miss Daisy.
That's right.
Yes. Very good.
Very good.
And if I recall correctly, Anthony Hopkins' mother was Katharine Hepburn in Lion and Winter.
That is right, too. Oh. Very good.
Wow. Excellent. You're on a roll.
All right. That's me. Thank you. This is Tom and Marianne in Oakland. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
I had the Dan Aykroyd answer, Jessica Tandy.
I believe you.
But I also have Jessica Tandy was the mother in The Birds. Am I correct?
That is correct. She was also the mother in The Birds. Very good.
And I have a question.
Yes.
The origin of Mother's Day, what state was it originally proposed?
You know, I just read all these facts and figures about Mother's Day today, and I should remember this, of course.
Is it a state with a floral industry?
It was, no. Forested industry.
Forested?
Oregon.
I want to say, you know, it's weird that you're calling from West Virginia, but was it West Virginia?
Grafton, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Anna Jarvis in 1910 proposed an honor to the person who has done more for us than anyone else.
I also remember reading...
I thought that was Dana.
Yeah, no, not quite. I always remember reading she was so disgusted after the first few years of it becoming a holiday is that she wanted to stop it.
She went to Congress and asked that it be revoked.
Yeah, because of the commercialization.
After Hallmark took over. And what president signed it into law that it would be a national holiday?
Woodrow Wilson.
And what did you get your mom for Mother's Day for?
Second Sunday in May. A card, of course.
All right.
So it's a little commercial.
Time.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello there.
Hi.
Michael in San Francisco.
Hi, Michael.
Was Queen Elizabeth ever a person of the year?
Yes, she was. Very good. Ooh. Good job. Queen Elizabeth was the Time Magazine person of the year as well.
And Anna Paquin's mother was Holly Hunter in The Piano.
Right.
I mean, Clay Hunter was out and Paquin's mother.
Right.
And I just wanted to say hey to Steve. This is Michael McCausland.
Oh, Michael. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah. I'll see ya.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you.
Hey, colleague.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us here with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. For the question or answer, 415-841-4134. And, of course, we're doing the public radio party. Please feel free to call and pledge whatever amount you can. And please join KALW as well at 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go to kalw.org and pledge there, too. Jerry, you have something quick you want to throw in?
What do Donald O'Connor, Michael Richards, and Leo G. Carroll all have in common?
They all have an R in their name.
What do Donald O'Connor, Michael Richards, and Leo G. Carroll all have in common?
I guess that's not correct.
No.
Well, it is correct.
I can only think of one racist rant between the three of them, but...
Donald O'Connor doesn't have an R. Oh, yeah, he does.
Let's see. Leo G. Carroll, Donald O'Connor. Well, I mean... Can you frame it in any way at all? Like, is it
Wait a minute. I know. All three of those guys are people in your question.
Is it a show business? Is it a show business thing?
Well, they were in show business. Yeah, that's something.
But I mean, if their connection is a show business thing.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to narrow it down a little more.
Yeah,
it's toward
the
end of the show. It has something to do with the roles they played.
Oh, boy. Donald O'Connor, Leo G. Carroll, and Michael Richards. They all play opposite a talking mule?
No.
Ghosts.
No.
Does it have something to do with ghosts?
No.
Oh, that's Topper.
Right? No.
Topper.
That's good. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David in Berkeley.
Hi, David.
I had all my answers taken, but I want to make a wild guess about the Hitchcock mother.
Yes.
Last name was Minziotti.
Yes.
Was that possibly the wrong man?
It was the wrong man, yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, because he had an Italian. He was an Italian.
Have you ever seen a less likely pairing, like Esther Minziotti as Henry Fonda's mother?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
But, you know, I guess it's strictly... based on ethnic stereotyping.
I guess, yeah.
Because he plays an Italian. And
yeah, that's a very good guess.
Good job.
It's the Italian-ness or something. I think it's a great idea. One of the earlier callers did his own bell. He went like, ding. And I think you should do that one week. Make all the callers do their own bell.
Okay.
And I have one question for you. I think this is correct, and I bet that Dana will immediately correct me if this is wrong. But who played Robert Walker's mother in Strangers on a Train?
And Marion Lauren was the one that played Robert Walker's mother.
Oh,
you mean Farley Granger?
Yeah.
He didn't have a mother.
Steve guessed it was she played Farley Granger's mother, but it's actually Robert Walker's mother.
Oh, but then tell me, who did Hermione Gingold play in that?
She wasn't in that. You're thinking of Marion Lauren and Hermione Gingold are kind
very
of
similar.
The same type.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
And on Jerry's question, because I'm reading Wallace Stegner's Beyond the 100th Meridian, I know that John Wesley Powell taught at Illinois State Normal University.
Oh.
Yeah, but why do we call them normal schools?
Oh, why? Was that...
Why, yeah.
I thought you wanted the list of...
No, I just wanted where the term comes from.
Oh,
thank you.
Know. Uh-huh. But it's not just in the U.S., right? It's there's like in France there's the like normal. So it's
well, that's close enough. The term normal school originated in the early 16th century from the French École normale. The French concept was to provide a model school with model classrooms to teach model teaching practices.
Oh, so it comes
very good.
Oh, okay.
Give it a bell. You got a bell.
Inadvertently. Let's see. I know that Corazon Aquino was Woman of the Year.
Excellent. Good job. That's the last one. Corazon Aquino was the other mother who was the Time Magazine Person of the Year. Very good.
Okay. And Do you have time for a question? Or?
Very quick. Yeah, go ahead.
What is the connection between these three people? Like, the first two were kind of easy, but the third, we're bringing in the third one, might be more difficult. James Agee, Walker Evans, Aaron Copland.
Well,
let us now praise famous men.
Right.
Did Aaron Copland do the... Did they do a documentary and Aaron Copland did the music for it?
Not quite, but...
Or did he do an opera with that name or some
right.
piece of music with that name? That's as far as I can go.
It's not a piece of music with that name, but...
But it's...
Appalachian Spring.
No.
All right, what's the connection?
Okay. It was inspired. It wasn't based on it, but that book inspired the opera The Tenderlands.
Oh, okay. Ah. All right.
Good question.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yep, take care.
All right. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin. I'm sorry we're almost out of time.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
I'll go quick. Louise Latham?
Yes.
Was the mother in Marnie.
Right. She was Tippi Hedren's mother in Marnie. Good job.
Yeah. And did anyone answer on Anthony Hopkins?
Yes, but go ahead.
Okay, never mind. I'll ask my question real quick if I can. These three Broadway shows, Cabaret, The Star-Spangled Girl, and Philadelphia, Here I Come, never ran at the same time. But if a kid today were to watch this sitcom, they would probably think that they did.
Oh, my God.
That's too good for the end of the show.
We're not gonna work with it. Can you call us next Sunday?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, call us earlier in the show because we want to work with that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry we didn't have more time tonight.
No problem. Have a good weekend.
All right, thanks. Okay, time to clean up here. Jerry, what do you
got? Okay, Donald O'Connor, Michael Richards, and Leo G. Carroll all played characters named Cosmo.
Oh,
Cosmo Brown and Cosmo Topper. Kramer and Cosmo Topper.
That's right. I should have got
it. Is that it for you?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve.
And the game on the subject of 11, the game in which there are two large dots, 11 meters from two long white lines, is soccer. The two dots are the penalty spots. And what happens when three famous 11s came together? The end of World War I.
November
11th.
Yeah.
And the correct way of writing the name of the store where you buy a Slurpee, the 7-Eleven, it's number 7 and then... a dash or a hyphen, not a slash, Jerry, and then you write out the word 11, capital E-L-E-V-E.
Very good.
All right. Everything was answered except for the single most visited tourist attraction in France outside of Paris. That is Fontainebleau Castle and Forest, which is not that far outside of Paris, I believe. Anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman. From the Chronicle and teaching profession, that would be Stephen Rubenstein. And thank you very much, Steve.
It was a great pleasure.
And I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Kevin Vance for handling the board and phones. And just a reminder again, please give KLW a call and pledge if you can. We need all the new members we can. We hope you enjoyed this chapter of the Public Radio Party. We certainly enjoyed bringing it to you. 1-800-525-9917 or kalw.org. Thanks for all your help and hope you enjoyed the show. Take care. Bye-bye.